Psalm 115. Let's get back in our study. I tell you, I'm hung up bad in Psalm 115, and it has been a blessing to my heart. I want to try to finish it tonight. No guarantees, but we're going to look at it again this evening. If you're willing and able, would you stand with us? And we'll read these verses again, lay just a little bit of groundwork, make sure we're all on the same page, and then we'll jump back into where we were. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" Where's your God at now? That's what the world's saying tonight to you and I. Where's your God at now in all this war and in all these all this chaos and all these things that are going on in society? Where's your God at now? I'm glad the psalmist had an answer. He said in verse 3, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they handle not." Our eyes, let me back up. "They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more." I hope I can get to this verse tonight. It ain't looking good the way I feel in my heart just reading this. He said, "The Lord shall increase you more and more." Let me just go ahead and tell you right now, because I can tell I ain't going to get it. What the psalmist is saying is God's blessings are going to get bigger and bigger and more and more. You're going to see more than you've ever seen. Your God is not done blessing your life. Amen. In a world of chaos, in a world, my friend, that's reeling out of control, in a world we look at and we get vexed about what's going on, mark it down, God's still going to bless his children, and not by a small measure, but he's going to bless you more and more. God's blessings are going to get so big in your life, it will not even be able to be contained to your life, because he said he's going to increase you more and more, you and your children. You can't contain the blessings of God to the days of your own life. Has it ever dawned on you? Some of you had Christian mamas and daddies that many of the blessings you have tonight are just the overflow of your mamas and daddies and your grandmas and your grandpas. And if you didn't have saved grandmas and grandpas and you didn't have saved mamas and daddies, what God's doing in your life since you've been saved is going to spill out over your children and your grandchildren one of these days. You cannot, I'm about to preach on this, you cannot contain the blessings that God gives to you in your own life. Amen. Amen. I'm about to run reading scripture. Amen. The Lord, let me read it again. "The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And the psalmist said, it's a real good time. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. I want to continue our thought on our lively praise for our living God. Lively praise for the living God. This is the third psalm of the Hebrew Hallel sung at the Passover time of the Jews, and they're observing that. This is the week that they're observing that. And at the observation and the eating of that meal, what you're going to find is even this week they will sing Psalm 113 through Psalm 118 throughout the eating and the participation and the observation of the Passover meal, even after all of these thousands of years they've been observing that. And so being sung at the Passover, we said it reminds us of their exodus and their liberation from the land of Egypt, an idolatrous nation of pagans with many man-made images of so-called deities. And so the psalmist deals with some of that as the heathens are saying. They're saying to the children of God, where is now their God? Where's their God at now? And so the psalmist said, what I want you to understand is that all your images, they have a likeness to yourself. They have hands and feet and eyes and ears and noses and mouths. But they cannot, they see not, they taste not, they speak not, they walk not, they handle not, they smell not. And really the whole point is that the reason they're not able to handle, not able to hear, not able to see, is that they really are not. They're not gods at all. They're not gods at all. They're not deities. They're not in a hierarchical system of gods of the universe. These are man-made images that at the very best have demonic spirits behind them that they are worshiping. However, the Bible said in light that their gods are not, the contrast is found in verse number 3. But our God is. Their gods are not, but our God is. And the fact is that this statement just simply means that our God is living. Our God is real. Our God is working. Our God is moving. Our God is seeing. He's handling. He's speaking. He's listening. He is walking to where His children are. And so our God is. He is a living God. I was reading in my devotions this week in the book of Jeremiah, and I come across a verse that referenced the fact that our God is the living God. And that's a phrase you'll find throughout Scripture, Brother Mike. You know this, that He is the living God of heaven, the living God of Israel. He's not a dead God. He's not a dreamed up God. He's not a fashioned God out of the minds of men. But He is very much a living God. And so we're thankful that we have a living God. And this psalm here really is calling upon us to give lively praise to this living God. He said there in verse 17, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. We won't go into all of this as we've developed it, but we understand that there is an application of being twice dead, that we are dead spiritually. One day we'll be dead physically. That is, man is born dead in trespasses and in his sin. But thank God we can be born again by the grace of God. And then we, my friend, have been made twice alive. We've been born of our mother, and thank God we have been born of the Holy Ghost. And we that have been, my friend, brought out of being twice dead into being twice made alive, ought to give the living God a lively praise for who He is and what that He has done. And so this is really, this psalm drives home praise God in a lively manner. Don't be dead. Don't be like the spiritually dead. Don't be like those that are physically dead. That if you have been made alive spiritually, while you have life as you know it now, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to praise the Lord. Praise Him in this hour and praise Him in this time. Simply driving home, we believe and have stated the true meaning and satisfaction of the Christian life, which is, God, help us to get a hold of this. Lord, let me live to praise Your name. Lord, let me live. Let me live my physical life and let me live my spiritual life simply to praise Your name. Ephesians 1 states that this is the reason God saved us and accepted us in the Beloved. And this is the reason God gave us the inheritance of the saints. And why God has blessed us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with all spiritual blessings. This is why He gave us the Holy Ghost. And this is why He sealed us unto the day of redemption three times. In Ephesians 1, Paul said all of this was done and it might be under the praise of His grace and under the praise of His name. That is why we live. That is why we have been given spiritual life and why we are saved. Lord, let me live to praise Your name. And so it ought to be not just some religious exercise, but lively praise. It flows from a heart of gratitude and a heart that has been excited and impassioned about the Lord. We talk about the determination for lively praise in verse number 18. But we will bless the Lord. That is determination, a matter of the will. We looked at the duration to lively praise in verse number 18. From this time forth and forevermore. That we ought to do it now while we can, and we are for sure going to do it in heaven. We looked at the denunciation in lively praise in verse number 1, that we've got to get us out of the way. We've got to get us out of our mind. We've got to get the focus off of us and get it on the Lord and the glory that is due unto His name. And so we denounce everything about ourselves so that we might truly see God as He is. And then the declaration of lively praise is this psalm simply ends, praise the Lord. The psalmist now has his eye upon God and the character of God and the integrity of God and the attributes of God, and he cannot help himself but to declare, praise the Lord. If you're praising the Lord, that's got to come out of your mouth. It's got to be a part of your praise. Lively praise is not done in the heart. It flows through the heart. But it has attached to it a declaration where we say, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. All of these are phrases that are attached to our lively praise in Psalm 115. And so we ought to declare praise to His name. We ought to give Him some praise every day that we live. When the sun comes up in the morning, as we sing back in Psalm 113, that from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And so we ought to praise Him when the sun gets up, when the sun goes down. Ought to praise Him on the job. Ought to praise Him in the house. Ought to praise Him when we're alone. Ought to praise Him when we're in the public. It's a part of our witness. It's a part of our worship. It's a part of our work for God that we declare praise to the Lord. Are you praising the Lord? Are you praising God? And is your praise lively praise? It ought to be lively because He is the living God. And what is it in this psalm that has this psalmist so enlivened about praising the Lord? What's brought him out of calling upon others in Psalm 113 and 114? praise ye the Lord, to now he's not waiting on anybody else, but he is just going to jump in and praise the Lord for himself. I believe there's seven characteristics at least. Maybe there's more, but seven's more than I can handle. And so we're working our way through Psalm 115. About this matter of our God is a living God. And what is the character? As he is the living God, what does he manifest to us that should stir us to lively praise? I've given you three of them on Sunday night. And we said in verse number one that he is the merciful God. And he said, I'm going to praise you, Lord, and give glory to your name for thy mercy. I won't re-preach all of that. We just kind of shotgunned on it. But I'm thankful for the mercy of God. Mercy has been defined as the Lord not giving us what we deserve. I would remind you tonight, all of us deserve hell. All of us deserve the wrath of God. But when I come back, one day in our life, we come to the end of ourselves, knowing we deserved hell, knowing we deserve to be banished from God forever. And we said something like this, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. I know what I deserve. I know what I ought to get. But Lord, I'm coming to you for mercy. And it's like the old publican praying alongside the Pharisee. And the Pharisee simply said, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm not like this publican and this sinner man. When the publican began to pray, he smote his chest, rent his garment, and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, that man went home justified. He went home saved. He went home right with God. And he got mercy from God. And in doing so, God did not give him what he deserved. I'm praising God tonight because he is the merciful God. And then again in verse number one, he is the truthful God. He is the truthful God. And there's a lot of things the Lord's opened up to me, even since Sunday night, just even in my own devotions about him being the God of truth. Our God is truth. One of the names of Jesus is he is faithful and true. He is the truth. In him is no lie. And we ought to praise him tonight. In him we have come to know the truth. And through knowing the truth, thank God he has made us free. And so we ought to praise him because he's the truthful God. And then we ought to praise him lively tonight because he is the rightful God. And so there's a debate in verses 2 through 8 between the heathen and the children of God. It's not really a debate on our end. The heathen started all. They say, where is now their God? And they say that with their own little gods in their hand. They say that while they're carrying their God around. They say that while they're setting their own God up. Where is now their God? But the psalmist said, your God has hands but handles not, has ears but he hears not, has mouths but he speaks not, and on he goes. And really what the psalmist is saying, I'm going to praise my God because my God is the rightful God. Beside him there is none other. Beside him there is no other God. I'm glad tonight we can praise our God in a lively praise because he is the rightful living God. No one else can claim what he claims. Nobody else can assert what God is asserting in his word. Psalm 115 really is a commentary on all that the scripture would declare. You know, the Bible does not lay arguments out and proof out that there is a God. The Bible just declares there is a God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He doesn't try to explain his existence. He doesn't try, my friend, to argue with the heathen about whether he is or he isn't. God just makes a declaration. And if you're going to believe believe that there is a God, it is indeed by faith that we must believe that he is. Hebrews 11:6 said that you must believe that he is. You must believe that he is what? That He's the living God, He's the only God, He's the rightful God. And if He is the rightful God that He declares Himself to be, then you ought to praise Him tonight, because there's none other you can give your praise to. I praise Him tonight because He is the rightful God. And let me get into point number four. I find this here in verse 3, and we'll jump down even to verse number 16. I see here tonight, He's not only the merciful God, the truthful God, the rightful God, but we ought to praise Him with lively praise, because He is the living, powerful God. He is the living God who is the powerful God. I love verse number 3. And the Bible said, but our God is in the heavens. He is in the heavens. Now here's what Daniel will say later on. When he is writing, and he's writing about prophecy, and he's writing about things that are to come, he's writing about a worldly system, an antichrist system, that is going to be one of these days, and all the empires that are attached to that throughout human history, leading to that one world government that shall be. Here's what Daniel said. He said, the heavens do rule. In other words, it is the God that is in heaven that is calling the shots. It doesn't matter what Nebuchadnezzar thought of his own power. It doesn't matter what Cyrus and Darius and all the different empires of Babylon and the Medo-Persian Empire and the Roman Empire and all the empires that have ever been or ever shall be. The fact of the matter is, our God is in heaven. He's sitting upon a throne there. He's not an old man wore out, worried about what's going on. He's not in a rocking chair popping Valium pills trying to calm his nerves. Oh no, friend, He is in heaven, sitting on a throne with all power in heaven and in earth. Amen, amen. And so the psalmist said, our God is in heaven. We don't have to set our God up. We don't have to carry our God around. Our God sits on high and He looks down low and He has His finger on everything that is going on. And men, as powerful as they may think they are but pawns in the plan and purpose of Almighty God. Amen. Pharaoh thought he was in charge, but really he learned there was one bigger than him that was in charge. Pharaoh thought it was his hand that was moving things around, but he learned when the story was over that there's an unseen hand of God from heaven and is able to break the back and the power of Egyptian bondage. And our God is in, He is in the heavens. Now notice what he said in light of that. He said, He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. In other words, He does what He desires to do. He does what brings Him pleasure. He does what ultimately is His perfect plan and His perfect will. Amen. I understand the free will of men. I understand that. I understand tonight that the free will of man is often in rebellion against Almighty God. I understand that God can be resisted. I understand tonight at large this world is hell-bent in rebellion and going against God. But that doesn't change the fact that our God is in heaven and He does whatsoever pleases Him. Amen. Joe Biden ain't in charge tonight. Amen. The Democrats are not in charge tonight. These stupid college students on campuses creating a ruckus tonight. They are not in charge tonight. Our God is in the heavens and our God is able and is doing whatever He pleases.
listen, when man sinned in the garden, that did not deter the power of our God. Our God was able, my friend, to still reach down and do what pleased him. When mankind throughout every dispensation had failed in the grace of God and failed to live up to the standards and the expectation that God had placed on men, it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change God's power. It doesn't change what God is able to do. Our God, he's still in the heavens, and he's still doing what pleases him. Amen. That ought to bless us tonight. Amen. He needs no permission. He has no rival, and he is not limited in any way. I like Psalm 135. Let me read you a couple verses going on with this. Psalm 135, and in verse number 6, listen to this. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. You know what that verse is saying, Brother Riley? Ain't anywhere you can go. You can't go high enough. You get out of the reach of God. You can't, my friend, live in this realm and go east or west so far that God is not at work doing what pleases him. Hey, no matter how low you go, how drowned you feel in the sea, and our God is a powerful God that is worthy of our praise, ought to be praised in a lively way, that whatever he pleases to do, be it in our life, be it in our nation, being in our time frame and season of human history, that our God is able to do what brings glory and honor to him. Amen. He's not limited. He's not rivaled. He certainly tonight needs no permission. Congress don't tell him what to do. A Supreme Court cannot override what our God decides, what our God does when he decides to do it. I like Isaiah 46, and in verse number 10, I believe it is. Here's what the Bible said. Here's what God said. Let me back up to verse number 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And I'm telling you, Abraham failed, and it did not change the power of God in Abraham's life. And Israel failed, and it has not changed the power of God in the nation of Israel. And you and I have failed at times, but it does not change the power of God in our life. I'm telling you, somebody ought to praise him tonight because he is the powerful God. How you bring that into our world? What did the Bible say? It said we were saved by the power of God. Amen. He's powerful enough to save us. Amen. Romans 1 said, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth it. God, my friend, he didn't need our assistance. He didn't need you and I to do something to help him save us. He didn't need the help, my friend, of anybody. He had a powerful plan because he's the powerful God and he has the power to save any sinner. Amen. Amen. I tell you why you ought to praise him, because he's the powerful God. You do understand the Bible said that we are kept by the power of God unto salvation. If he's not the powerful God, then the Bible declares himself to be. And my friend, we would be lost. We would be scattered. We certainly would not stay in the right way. We certainly would not have the assurance, that steadfast assurance of eternal life. I'm not trusting in me. I ain't trusting in you. I ain't trusting in the church. I ain't trusting in being a Baptist. I am kept by the power of God and the salvation. He is able, my friend, to keep us safe and see us all the way home because he's the powerful God. Amen. Amen. I go on and on and on tonight about Him being the powerful God and how that is applied in your life. How many days did you need something you didn't have the power to perform? You didn't have the power, my friend, to bring to pass. You didn't have the power to speak it. You didn't have the powerful friends to bring it to your life. Somehow, some way, God met a need in your life, and God showed up when you was weak, and God showed up when you was deficient, and God showed up when you couldn't do it, and God did it in the night. Somebody ought to praise Him because He's the powerful God. Amen, amen. I'm glad I know something about that tonight. I'm glad I know I can testify and praise Him till midnight tonight. How many times I couldn't, but He did. How many times, my friend, I was on the ground and couldn't take another step, knocked down, and my friend had no more fight left in me. And I'm glad our God is the powerful God and is worthy of all of our praise. Amen. You ain't here tonight because you great and mighty. Amen. You here tonight because there's a powerful God reached down and saved you one day. Amen. And He's kept you ever since you've been saved. He's going to keep you all the way whole. He's kept you through every battle you've ever been through. He's kept you through the storm. And disciples said, "Dear God, do you not care that we're about to perish?" And it wasn't nothing there. God, understand and calm the storm. And they said, "Oh, who is this? And even the winds and the waves obey Him." In other words, it was the powerful God had stood up on the bow of their ship, and when the water was coming in the boat, and when the winds were beating the boat, and when the waves were, my friend, crashing into the earth, amen, they were saved, not because they were powerful men, but because they had a powerful God in their life. Tonight I'm telling you all to praise Him because He's the powerful God. Amen. Amen. Let me give you one more and I'll be done. I got seven of these. We own, I don't know, what are we on? Somebody taking notes? Number five. Amen. Mama said we're on number five. I'll give you five at number five tonight, and then we'll get six and seven some other time. Amen. We see He's the merciful God. He's the truthful God. He's the rightful God. He's the powerful God. I like the reiteration that is made in verses 9, 10, and 11. And here's how we word it tonight. He is, listen, you ought to praise Him lively tonight because He's the living God who is the helpful God. Oh, Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He's going to tell the house of Aaron to do the same, and He's going to tell them that fear the Lord to do the same, that we are to trust in the Lord. Trust in the living God. He's worthy of your faith. He's worthy to live by faith in. We sing the song. It was our theme on last year, living by faith. In Jesus above, we're going to go through things that is going to stretch our faith out. And we're going to go through things that are going to maybe make us worry and anxious. But my friend, in Psalm 115, it just simply said, you need to learn how to trust in the Lord. This is important because when you back up into verse number 8, the Bible said of the heathens and their idols, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Amen. You are who your God is. You will be, and let me word it this way, you will be like and be a reflection of who your God is. Amen. That's why when you look like the world and you talk like the world and you dress like the world, and I'm not preaching on all that tonight other than to say it is a reflection of who your God is. Amen. Amen. And if your God's the devil, you'll look like the devil. And if your God is the country music stars of the day, whoever they would be, you'll wear their t-shirts and you'll talk like them and act like them and live your life like they do. Why? Because you are like who your God is. Amen. Amen. And so the psalmist says here, amen, we're not like them. Trust in the Lord. And as we trust in the Lord, there's a reflection of Him in our life. Now, this matter of trusting in the Lord is important because He is the helpful God. He helps those who have faith in Him. Does that bless you tonight? Amen. To know that your God is your helper and your help. Amen. The word help just simply means, he says here, he is their help and their shield. Let me say a few things about this tonight. He is their help. This is the giving of aid and assistance. It's interesting. We'll see it more clearly in a moment. And that word help means to conceal or to surround. And the psalmist is saying, how many times have you needed the Lord and you put your faith in the Lord and you found that the Lord was your help in the hour and time of need? Amen. I see here, let me give this to you. I see in verse number 9, boy, how we need this. He is our national help. Oh, Israel, he said, oh, Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The idea of the nation of Israel, that Jewish nation, is calling on them as a nation to trust in the Lord because, Brother Mark, it is there that they will find that He is our national help. And I say tonight, America needs some national help. And it ain't going to come from D.C., amen. In this environment we've been in the last many years now of defund the police, I seen a bumper sticker today I think I can get behind. Brother A.L., it said defund D.C. Amen. We might could have revival in America. Amen, if we didn't have to worry about all that bunch of nonsense up there. Amen. What a bunch of idiots. Amen. But we need our leaders to step up and say, in God we trust. Ain't that amazing that is such a controversial thing in this hour? But the only one that is going to help us is God. The only one we can really count on for help when the government gets in the way and politics gets in the way and Hollywood gets in the way and the uppity-ups and the scientists and all the things that America looks to for help tonight apart from God have their say. Ain't it amazing? And we wind up sicker than we've ever been. We wind up more poor than we've ever been. We wind up, my friend, in worse shape than we've ever been. And I'm telling you tonight, our God is our national help. That's a message needs to be preached tonight. He is our national help. Let me say verse number 10. I got to hurry. I got so much to give you. He is our ministerial help. The Bible said, O house of Aaron, he's going to the house of God. He's going to the priesthood. He's going to that place that to those that are leading the nation in worship and in spiritual matters. Here's what I want to say tonight. Church, God is our help as a congregation. I thank God for the help you can give me, and I hope somewhere along the way I can be a help to you. But as a church, we must look to the Lord to be our help. Amen. Somebody told me in my first church, they were sincere, I guess, and they said, you know what we need around here? We need some more doctors and lawyers and people that got money. If we had those kind of people, imagine what we could do. I said, well, best I can tell, we got enough crooks around here. Amen. We might just want to look to God and let Him add to the church and let Him bless the church. Amen. It's amazing. I think about what God does around here. It just blows my mind. And I can tell you tonight, Amen. Calvary Baptist Tabernacle is not here tonight because you and I are so faithful yet. And thank God you have been, and I'm a trying to be yet. And thank God for our heritage and the ministry of the whales and people that have been here that are no longer here that are in heaven tonight. That have been faithful to God and they pass this down to us. But if you can talk to them tonight, here's what they're going to tell you. It ain't us. It's not us. It ain't about the name on the sign. It ain't about the preacher in the pulpit. It's about the faithfulness of God to be our ministerial help. Amen. You listen, if we ever get away from that idea that we are going to put our faith and trust in something or anyone else to help us, this church would go under. He's the help for the church. Amen. A lot we could say there tonight, but let me say tonight, he's our personal help. Ye that fear the Lord and takes it from the large, the national help that God is, I'm glad he is. And then he brings it down into the congregation and the spiritual atmosphere of ministry, that God is your help. But then he gets it right down to where you and I are. And if God, my friend, if the nation turns their back and quits trusting God, and if everybody you go to church with turns their back on God and walks away and no longer looks to God to be their help, you can trust God tonight in your heart, and you feel all alone when you are all alone, when you feel heart broke and you feel like you don't know how in the world you're going to make it, I'm glad to tell you tonight, he is our personal help. Amen, amen. You say nobody knows the help I need. The preacher don't know, my best friends don't know. And what's worse than that, sometimes we feel like nobody cares. I'm telling you tonight, oh, that's a lie. The devil has more people care than you realize tonight. But even if it was so, even if it was true, there is a God in heaven, David said. David said one day, he got in a low spot. He said, I looked to my left hand, there wasn't nobody, no man there. He said, I turned to my right hand, and no man cared for my soul. Before he ended that song, his heart is excited and he's praising God because it didn't matter who stood in his left or his right. He found that his real help comes from a God that is the helpful God. You feel like everybody's abandoned you and turned on you. They haven't, but you feel that way. It's amazing in that hour of time how God can minister his help into our life. Send you the very aid and the very assistance that you need to help you make it. Amen. We all right? Can I add on this? Can I build on this just a minute longer? I'm almost done. Notice he said he is their help. But note with me tonight the connection of this help to the Lord being a shield. That's blessed me in my study. He is their help. How does he help us? It's amazing. The word help means to surround. Then he said shield, which is a word that means to surround and cover. He is their, listen, he is their help. He covers them and their shield. He covers them and then he covers them again. Amen. Think about a shield. A shield is a defensive tool of warfare. Amen. When you're not able to be on the offensive, the enemy's beating you back and beating you down. That's when you need the shield. When the enemy is the one that has gone on the offensive, and the attacks are coming against you. No, thank God there's still a defensive tool in our armory that helps us. The New Testament, the Bible said, what was it called? The shield of what? Faith. that part of the armor that we bear, all of the armor that is to be about us as the children of God, he said, don't forget to have the shield of faith whereby you may quench all the fiery darts of the devil. In other words, there are times that we as a church, oh, listen, I got to hurry. Oh, Lord, I got to quit. But sometimes we as a church and the people of God, we're on the offensive. We're not just holding the fort because Jesus is coming. We're not just enduring unto the end. We're the church of the living God. We're supposed to be on the offensive. But every now and then the adversary kind of resists and steps it up, and they go on the offensive, and we find ourselves in need of a shield of faith. Amen. In the text tonight, it is said three times, He is their help and their shield. Amen. This defensive tool of warfare, it helps in that it covers the soldier. Amen. Let me say, not every shield is the same size as far as in warfare. As you study history about shields, there were some shields that would cover portions of the man. And let's just face it, we ain't all the same size. Amen. What shield made for one man and cover one man pretty well may not cover somebody else. Right? But God is our shield. Let me say, when God is your shield, He covers the whole soldier. He covers your front side, your back side, your left side, and your right side. Amen. And if that ain't enough, He covers you from above, and He covers you from beneath. Why? Because He is the God that is our shield and covers the soldiers of faith. The shield not only covers the soldier, but it is the shield that deflects the enemy's blows. Be it fiery darts, be it the swinging of a sword, be it the smiting of a spear, it is the shield that is able to deflect the blow that is meant to come against us. It's the shield that in its defensive purpose that brings a deflection of what was intended to knock you down. Let me tell you something. Our God is our shield. How many times had the devil got his fiery dart pierced into your soul had it not been for God knocking them down? How many swipes of the enemy's sword, Brother Gerald, would have fallen upon your neck and took you out, but God was there being your shield, able to deflect that swiping of the enemy. Oh, tonight somebody ought to lively praise the Lord this evening for how many times He sent us help as being our shield. Amen. Amen. It is the shield, I like this, that secures and assures the soldier from assault and injury. Oh, I'm telling you tonight how many injuries. There's probably ways you and I don't even know. Things God has knocked down that the enemy had planned to bring us down. But God was our shield in that moment of time. And you don't even know. You don't even know. And you won't even know till you get to heaven how many times God has been so helpful in your life to throw down what the devil meant to take you out. But tonight I'm not worried about all the times I don't know. I'm worried about all the times I do know that He has. Brother Tim, those are manifold and diverse, and they are many. They abound in every season of my life. Times I know that God was my help and my shield. Now I'm telling you, how ungrateful would it be? How ungrateful of a heart would a child of God have to not ever praise God for
for those times. You wouldn't be here tonight. You're not here because you're a saint. You are a saint. But you ain't here tonight because you're some mighty saint and champion. You're here tonight because a living God in heaven has been helpful in your life, has watched over and aided and assisted you, give you things, ministered to you in your hours of need, help that could only come from God. Being that shield has deflected so many blows. Amen. Have you praised Him for that lately? Have you thanked Him for that lately? Have you said, Lord, I just want to thank You for the fact that I'm here, and I owe that to the fact that You're my help, that You're my shield. I've got two more to give to you that ought to stir us to praise. That is, He is the mindful God. He hath been mindful of us. I can't wait to preach that to you. And then He is the graceful God. He's graceful. It began with mercy and it ends with grace. Glory to God. I'm about to preach, sissy. I'm about to preach. Amen. It began with mercy and it ends with grace. You said, grace, that's what blessings are. It is the grace of God. Amen. And I can't wait to show you some things about that. Amen. Lord, we